Okay, well, let's see here. Today is 28 November. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Organized chaos. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we've got some folks visiting here today. Actually, we've got three sets of families that are visiting. The first is John Wang, not John Wayne, John Wang, but close, and his wife Ellen, and their daughter Serena, and their son Joseph. And they're here visiting from Naples, but they just left New York. And so, yes, it's once again, it's a good place to be from. She's got her arms up in victory right now. So they moved to Naples, and if you think of it, you can pray for them. They moved out in faith. And obviously, it's a little unfriendly for people that don't want to do certain things with their bodies right now. And so they moved out, and they are going to just pray for direction for them, for jobs and et cetera, so that they can be established where they are. I think you've got another 2 months, is that right, of your situation, and then you say you might have a change? 2 months?
No, depending on the government mandate for the...
That's right. She's got a government mandate for the vaccine, and depending on that, because she's working online with her job, but her company is up north, and so they may impose something on them where she'll have to get a new job. Yeah. So keep them in prayer for the right decisions in the weeks ahead. And then we also, yes?
We call ourselves Exodus.
Yeah, they're the Exodus. That's absolutely right. They are the people of the Exodus because they got out of Egypt. I'll tell you that. They are down here in the land of promise right now. So we also have Lynn and Gideon and Janie that are visiting. And let's see here. It was Lynn that is from Fort Myers, and Gideon and Janie live right here in Sarasota. And then we have Justina, Edward, and Cassidy, who are moving from Rhode Island on their way to Kansas, and it was the natural thing to do is to stop in Sarasota on the way. So here they are, and it's wonderful to have all of you here. Thank you for making the effort. All right, let's see here. I got a question before we get into our Israel news today. It's just a question I'm asking for somebody who wants to know, okay? Why has Daryl Brooks not been charged with either domestic terrorism or a hate crime? Why hasn't he? Daryl Brooks, the guy that ran over like 12 people and five of them are dead and another one is about to die. Listen to the titles and tell me why he hasn't been charged. Zero Hedge, black supremacist, Daryl Brooks rapped about being a terrorist and called for violence against white people. From Mail Online, the old white people knocked them blank blank out. Waukesha suspect shared social media posts promoting violence towards white people. And from Mail Online, Waukesha massacre suspect, we'll drop that word, Waukesha massacre person, Daryl Brooks, was convicted for threatening to bomb the Nugget Casino in Nevada and is still wanted in the state for failing to appear in court. So why hasn't this guy been charged with both hate crimes and domestic terrorism? That's what I'd like to know. Actually, I'm asking for a friend who would like to know. You tell me. Yeah, you tell me. Yeah. Okay, so we got some news today from Israel, from the Times of Israel. Gantz, house cleaner and ex-bank robber. Gantz is the defense minister in Israel. Gantz, house cleaner and ex-bank robber, accused of trying to spy on him for Iran. An Israeli man who worked as a house cleaner for Defense Minister Benny Gantz was arrested earlier this month for allegedly offering to spy on the minister on behalf of Iran. According to the Shin Bet, the man, Omri Goran, was arrested shortly after he contacted an Iran-linked hacking group and before he could do any damage. A central district prosecutor filed an indictment against Goran, charging him with espionage, a crime that carries a sentence of 10 to 15 years. This was not Goran's first time in court. The 37-year-old Lod resident was found guilty of crimes five times from 2002 to 2013, including two convictions for bank robbery and others for theft and breaking and entering. Goran has served four prison sentences, his most recent stretch for 4 years, Guerin's extensive criminal history, here you go, raised serious questions about the screening process for employees in sensitive positions. Can you imagine that? This guy's working for the defense minister of the state of Israel. He's done all of this, and they never checked him, did a background check on him. The Shin Bet, which is the equal of our CIA, the Shin Bet said that in light of this incident, it had launched an internal review of the way background checks are performed for workers in ministers' homes, with the goal of limiting the possibility of cases like this repeating themselves in the future. Can you imagine that happening? It reminds me, though, of Dianne Feinstein, who had an operative for the Chinese government that she employed for years and years, and we never did anything about it. To this day, nothing's been done to her for allowing it to continue, too. Anyway, Times of Israel. From, let's see here, UAE, Israel signed deal to jointly develop military commercial autonomous vehicles. The top Israeli and Emirati defense firms signed two agreements to work together to develop remote-controlled and autonomous vehicles and to maintain and sell advanced cameras for military and commercial purposes. These were the latest defense deals signed between the two countries during this month's Dubai Air Show, a major weapons exhibition in the Emirati city. Before I go on, I'd like to remind you that none of this would have happened a year and a half ago without Donald Trump. None of it. Israeli defense firms were able to open a booth there for the first time this year after Israel and UAE normalized ties last year. Israel Aerospace Industries and Edge Group, both of them state-owned, signed the two memoranda of understanding. One of the agreements focused on the formation of a joint center in the UAE that would maintain and market the Israeli firm's advanced electro-optic arrays. The agreement covers electro-optics advanced systems, including IAI's POP family, which is plug-in optronic payload systems, Mini-POP, and MOSP, which is multi-sensors optronic stabilized payload, and surveillance payloads for land, naval, and air applications. Under the second memorandum of understanding, the two companies agreed to work together to design and build unmanned surface vehicles for both military and commercial applications. I find it incredible that this is happening between enemies up until just a couple of years ago. There were some back, room dealings between some of these countries, but they are actually working together now and developing military applications. I find it astonishing. Donald Trump was a great president, and if he was still in office, things would be a little different right now. But unfortunately, we're going through what we're going through. From the Times of Israel, Israel, Jordan signed huge UAE brokered deal to swap solar energy and water. Israel and Jordan on Monday, this is a week ago, signed their largest ever cooperation agreement, which will see the construction of a major solar power plant in the Hashemite Kingdom to generate electricity for the Jewish state, while a desalinization plant established in Israel will send water to Jordan. So there you go. We've got actually Arabs that are making deals between Israel and Jordan, who have been partners all along but have been having some rocky times. Now we've got new Arab partners that are helping them come to resolutions in their own deal. So it's rather amazing what's happening in the Middle East right now. From the Times of Israel, anti-vaxxer addresses Knesset video conference. Apparently invited by mistake. I had to laugh when I read that. Yes, from Ynet. Fourth COVID-19 vaccine dose, only a matter of time, Health Ministry DG says. Only a matter of time. You know, it was supposed to be you get your vaccine and you're A-OK in Israel, and then you got to get your second shot, and then you got to get a third shot, and now you got to get a fourth shot. And there will never be any end to this. It will just continue on one thing after another forever and ever. Okay, we got some news concerning Christianity, but I'd like to read you something from Clara. For years, I struggled to read and understand the Bible and the Word of God. But after watching a few of your Bible prophecy updates, I took your advice and started to listen to your sermons. And in big letters, she says, "Wow, I'm hooked. I'm already more than halfway through Genesis. I'm finally starting to understand and find joy in reading the Bible." Thank God. Okay, if you're watching prophecy updates, that's fine. Limit yourself to one, maybe two a week, and then learn the Bible. That's what I would suggest, because that is where you're going to find the heart of God for mankind. It is the wonderful story of redemption that God has laid out, showing what he did at the very beginning and what he's doing all the way through human history until he brings his people to glory again someday. So please read your Bible, learn your Bible, and if you want to know what some of those rare stories are that you just don't see, why is this there? Just go to the Superior Word Sermons, and I'll do a sermon on that particular passage, and hopefully you'll find your answer. All right, from CBN, I serve God first. Teacher wins trans dispute with Loudoun County School Board. Lawsuit over policy goes on. I'm so glad to read this. The Loudoun County School Board has agreed to a permanent injunction prohibiting it from retaliating against Leesburg Elementary School teacher Tanner Cross. We talked about him last year for expressing his constitutionally protected views on the board's transgender policy. Cross made headlines earlier this year after he was suspended for telling the school board that he wouldn't address children by preferred pronouns because it violates his Christian beliefs. In an earlier ruling, the Loudoun County Circuit Court granted his request for preliminary relief against retaliation by the school board. That came after he had spoken at a public school board meeting, objecting to the proposed policy 8040, which forces teachers to violate their beliefs by requiring them to address transgender and gender-expansive students by their chosen pronouns rather than the ones consistent with their biological sex. The Virginia Supreme Court later affirmed the lower court's ruling. The settlement makes Cross's job protection permanent. As part of the settlement, the Loudoun County School Board also agreed to remove any reference to Cross's suspension from his personal file and to pay $20,000 toward Cross's attorney fees. Good. I'm so glad he stuck with it. He did. He prevailed. And now he's protected forever. He doesn't have to go through that LGBT nonsense. All right, from Town Hall. Memphis Christian School under attack for affirming Christian values. Doesn't surprise me at all. A nationally renowned private Christian school in Memphis is facing attacks from LGBT activists and a radical county commissioner for following the teachings of the Holy Bible. Briarcrest Christian School drew fire after they announced a training session for parents and students on a gospel response to sexuality and gender titled God Made Them Male and Female. And it was good. A gospel response to culture's gender theory. Briarcrest promised an enlightening look into the craziness of our culture is throwing at our kids and leave equipped with a gospel response to share with them. When Superman is rewritten to be a homosexual, when parents allow children to choose their genders, and some schools are embracing students for being courageous by coming out and considering transitioning, how do you respond biblically? The school pointed out in promotional materials. LGBT activist Dylan Sandifer accused the school of promoting bigoted ideas. I understand that as a private school, they can teach anything they want. Well, then let it go right there. That should have been the end of it. Yeah. They can teach anything they want, but that doesn't mean that it's right. And the radical activists weren't the only ones triggered by the private school's lessons. There has to be a reckoning with these institutions on the oppression they uphold and the gates they keep. Shelby Commissioner Tammy Sawyer posted on her Twitter feed. She accused the school of spreading hateful drivel against LGBTQ children. In a statement to KWAM News Talk 107.9 FM, Briarcrest defended its commitment to teaching students about all aspects of biblical truth, including biblical sexuality. I am so proud to see somebody standing up in these states and telling people that we are going to... I'm so proud of that. Briarcrest is a Christian school that teaches and upholds the biblical principles found in Scripture. We affirm our unity in Christ and that we are all created equal in God's eyes. We will continue to strive to teach our students what is true and just in light of God's word. We love people enough to tell them the truth about biblical sexuality. We have a responsibility to teach students about all aspects of biblical truth, including biblical sexuality. In addition, we strive to support parents in their efforts to raise biblically literate children who learn to defend their beliefs with gentleness and respect. Furthermore, as our culture attempts to silence biblical truth, we will proclaim the hope of the gospel. I'm just so happy to read that. I'm so happy to read this. Okay, from Religion News. In Catholic Italy, de-baptism is gaining popularity. De-baptism. Well, this is a problem when you baptize a little baby. and they think that they're saved and going to heaven because of that act, or somebody didn't want it later in life, they have to go through something called debaptism, okay, which is baptism of infants is unscriptural to start with. You're supposed to make a proclamation for Christ, and then you have a public demonstration of that by being baptized afterward. But this is what happens when you have people forcing their religion on their children, and their children rail against it. So a lack of data makes it difficult to establish how common the phenomenon is, but some dioceses are keeping track. The Diocese of Brescia, east of Milan, and I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, it's probably something like Brescia or something because it's Italian, but anyway, said in its diocesan newspaper in August that 75 people asked to be de-baptized in 2021 as opposed to 27 in 2020. Combining this particular data with activity on a website, UAAR recently launched where people can register their de-baptisms. Roberto Grandini, National Secretary of the UAAR, said the organization estimates that more than 100,000 people have been de-baptized in Italy. Legally and theologically, experts say this isn't an accurate term. The Reverend Daniel Mombelli, Vice Chancellor of the Diocese of Brescia and Professor of Religious Sciences at the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart in Milan, said it's not possible to erase the baptism because it's a fact that historically happened and was therefore registered. What the procedure does is formalize the person's abandonment of the church, said Mombelli. So this is a problem. Catholicism has got all kinds of bad doctrine. It goes very deep in Catholicism. One of those things is infant baptism. Okay, and people, as I said, you get a parent and they're shoving their beliefs down their children's throat instead of teaching their children the way of the Lord and bringing them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They say, we had you baptized and you're going to be a Catholic for the rest of your life, and that's all there is to it. And people will rebel against that. You want to, when the children are young, start telling them about Jesus, telling them about the goodness of the Lord, telling them why you believe what you believe, and get them into the Word of God. That is what you do. But because the Catholic Church has got so many false teachings, we have this kind of thing coming out in the world, and all that's going to do is it's going to bloom. It's going to affect other people in other religions as well. Mark my words. I'd never even heard of this practice until that article came out. Okay, we got some news from the Middle East and Africa today. From BBC, Hamas to be declared a terrorist group by the UK. This has been going on with other countries, and the UK has joined suit. Home Secretary Priti Patel has announced she is seeking to declare the whole of Palestinian militant group Hamas a terrorist organization. This is the best move they could make. The military wing of the group, which controls Gaza, is already proscribed a terrorist organization by the UK. However, the change will also cover the Islamist movement's political wing. It is a criminal offense to belong to or invite support for a proscribed organization or wear clothing which could be seen to support the group. The penalty is a maximum of 14 years in prison and or a fine. So people are going to have to watch out in the UK if they want to support Hamas from now on out. Okay, from the Times of Israel, UK's ban on Hamas said to be a significant blow to funding for terror group. Good. Hamas slams move as a new crime committed by Britain against our Palestinian people. Zero Hedge. This one is unbelievable. French canoe retailer halts sales due to soaring migrant channel crossings. They've been selling these canoes and these migrants and been paddling across to the UK. Now, they're already in a country where they can get benefits and they can get everything they want. They're already in a country where they're not being persecuted because they're in France. Everybody got that? And they're saying they're going to the UK because of persecution or for whatever reason. The fact is, the UK just gives them more money when they get there. Okay? So, this is an insane thing that was going on. And finally, this canoe retailer says, we're not going to sell any more of these canoes. File this story under, you know things are bad when... 2021 has seen an unprecedented surge in migrants fleeing the devastating beauty, culture, and freedom of France to take the extremely perilous journey across the English Channel to make their future home in England's green and pleasant and welfare-heavy land. A recent survey found that most Britons support tougher measures on people entering the country illegally. In fact, 61% believe that a migrant who comes to the UK from a safe country, for example, France, should not be allowed to stay in the UK as an asylum seeker. I would totally agree with that. just like these people coming up from the south, and they get to Mexico, which is a nice free country. They're not being persecuted there. There's plenty of jobs in Mexico. There's plenty of opportunity and open land, and yet we allow them into the states here illegally. And we don't do anything about it. Instead, we give them gift cards and we give them free flights all over the U.S. When people come here, they need to go through a process, a legal process, and then from there, we allow them in and we welcome them, okay? In fact, oh, yeah, no vaccines for any of them. They come over the border and they don't have any vaccines, but we are forcing our people to be vaccinated, or anybody that travels that is a truck driver from Mexico or from Canada must be vaccinated. But if you come over the border illegally, not only do you not have to be vaccinated, they don't want you to be vaccinated. Yeah, because they send them to Florida, and Florida is a state with a very low coronavirus rate. It this week is the lowest in the nation. But by sending these people that aren't vaccinated here, they're trying to get little super spreaders to make people sick so that our numbers will go up so that our governor will be voted out. This has been going on. We talked about the planes coming in here to Jacksonville, which DeSantis said, I'm going to stop this. He can't stop them flying in because the government controls the airspace, but he can stop them from entering Florida. Or he can have them deported out of Florida to Delaware, where Biden is from, if he wants. But this is what's going on in the world right now. It's a crime against the citizens of the United States. Goes on. Of course, the UK's plans to stop people entering the country have been criticized by charities, including Refugee Action, which has called them extreme and nasty. And still they come, despite UK Home Secretary Priti Patel providing funding for French officials to respond by posting more security forces further up the coast, installing and utilizing the latest surveillance equipment throughout northern France, and Brexit has no effect at all. In fact, it's got worse. A record 1,185 migrants crossed the channel in small boats last Thursday in one day. And the BBC reports a day later, three migrants were reported missing after trying to cross the channel in canoes. The UK government said the record number of crossings was unacceptable and called on France to do more to prevent migrants from making the often dangerous journey. So now, European sporting retailer Decathlon has pulled canoes from sale in northern France to stop migrants from using them to cross the English Channel. It remains to be seen whether this exceptional measure, which can only concern Calais, will be followed by other brands on the coast. Okay, I don't have the article in here, but just a day ago, 27 people died trying to cross the English Channel into the UK. All of this could be avoided very simply, but they're not willing to do it. From GB News, at least 886 people succeeded in reaching the UK on Saturday, bringing the total for the year to more than 25,600. Every one of them will be on the dole for the rest of their life in the UK. And they've got soldiers that have served in their military, sleeping in the streets. They don't give them any help at all, and yet these people come in and they get hotels to live in. They get government money forever. From the Jerusalem Post, he sounds like America. Islamic State now appears present in all Afghan provinces. The Islamic State, everywhere in Afghanistan. The UN envoy to Afghanistan delivered a bleak assessment of the situation following the Taliban takeover, saying that an affiliate of the Islamic State group has grown and now appears present in nearly all 34 provinces. Once limited to a few provinces and the capital, ISKP now seems to be present nearly in all of the provinces and increasingly active, adding that the number of the group's attacks have increased from 60 strikes in 2020, 60, to 334 this year. While the Taliban is making genuine efforts to present itself as a government, since seizing Kabul in August after a 20-year war with the U.S., they continue excluding representatives of other sectors of society and curtailing the rights of women and girls. The envoy warned anew of a humanitarian catastrophe as winter looms due to a failing economy and drought. Now, I don't usually report on this. I've seen article after article on this in Afghanistan. But if you've read any of the news, you know that people are so poor right now. They're so hungry that they are selling their children as young as 7 and 8 years old to people in order to have enough to eat. They're selling their daughters, not children, it's more the women that are suffering in this, but they're selling their daughters under these marriage contracts with, some of them are very old men. You see the pictures, and they're 60 years old. Their wife died, and they want a new wife, and so these people are selling their daughters for a few dollars just so that they can have a wife and so that the family that has sold the daughter can now have dinner. It's unbelievable. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia, from Al Jazeera. Collapse of tourism costs five Asian nations 1.6 million jobs, says the UN. The collapse of tourism during the pandemic wiped out 1.6 million jobs in five Asian countries alone this year. The Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, Brunei, and... No, Mongolia. Come on, we're in Mongolia. She says Malaysia. You got Malaysia on your mind. And now you'll have my mind on Malaysia because they have something called durian in Malaysia. And I love durian. And so I'll be thinking about that all day. Thank you very much. Okay, yes, Mongolia, not Malaysia, saw almost one-third of all job losses occur in the tourism sector. In the book of Daniel, prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Has anybody here ever eaten durian besides me? I see one, two, I see lots of hands up. Did you like it because you're,
no.
You, oh, she didn't, okay.
I like it.
You do, okay. And it doesn't grow native in China, so you must have got it from, did you get it here?
They sold it in Chinese grocery store.
In Chinese grocery store. Yeah, well, I've got to tell you, that's where I have to go, and it's never as good when it's been frozen, because they freeze it before it gets rotten, and that's when it's really good. Now, where are you all from originally?
Justina and Cassie, both born in...
In Malaysia. What part of Malaysia?
Sabah.
Sabah. Okay, I lived in KL, actually in Petaling Jaya for 3 years. So, yeah, Sabah is beautiful, and so you know all about durian. I'll tell you what happened with durian with me. I had it a couple times, and I wasn't really fond of it at first. My neighbor gave it to us, and, you know, it takes a while to get used to. But eventually, I got to the point where I'd go out on my bike and ride around, and I'd smell it. You could smell it 2 miles away if the wind was right. And I would follow that smell until I got to where I needed to go, and then I would stop, and I'd say, they'd be plunking on it. Which one do you want? I'd say, I want that one. I'd sit there and eat the whole thing, and then I'd get another one to take home to my wife, so... Wow, durian is where it is at. Okay, from CBS, a new recruitment tool for employers, paying workers every day. I'm going to tell you something. This is a really bad idea. So if you think that this is a good idea and you want to get a job that does this, don't do it. You will be a slave to that forever, for the rest of your life. Okay, there is something called savings. You save your money, and then when you see something you want, you go buy it. Don't buy it on credit if you can help it, etc. But the worst thing in the world is what I'm going to read you right now, in my opinion. Okay? I just want you to know, I don't think it's the right thing. When we came back from Malaysia in 1993, we got our very first credit card ever. And I said to my wife, the day that we got that, I said, if we ever don't pay this at the end of the month, we're going to cut it up and we'll never use one again. Don't let people take control of you. Credit card interest rates are what, 19, 20, 21%? You are becoming a slave to that organization. Don't do that. Save. You don't need to have what you want, okay? Needs and wants are different. And in America, we have replaced the two. We say that all our wants are needs, and that's not correct. Okay, CBS, a new recruitment tool for employers, paying workers every day. Struggling to attract workers as the coronavirus pandemic drags on, which it'll never end. It'll never end.
No.
Okay, major companies are dangling. I like that word because that's what they're doing. They're dangling an uncommon benefit to lure job candidates, a chance to get paid every day. Dozens of employers, including fast food chains, Arby's, Wendy's, Jimmy John's, and Taco Bell, as well as retailers, Big Lots, Dollar Tree, and Kroger, are now giving employees the option to withdraw money from their paychecks moments after finishing their shift by using smartphone apps like Branch or Daily Pay. Usually people aren't taking out $100 to go to the bar at night, Daily Pay Chief Marketing Officer Gianni Walden told CBS MoneyWatch. They're taking out, for example, $37.10 because they have a light bill that they forgot to pay. Well, that's a problem with your budgeting. You need to remember to pay your bills, okay? Such apps are essentially software add-ons to existing payroll systems like ADP. employees can download the app on their iPhone or Android device and log in using a company-provided email or phone number. The app shows workers by the hour how much cash they're earning as their shift progresses throughout the workday and allows them to transfer their wages to a connected bank account with the touch of a button. Taxes and any pay garnishments are automatically taken out before a user can tap the funds. Of course, withdrawing wages whittles down the amount workers would ordinarily get paid when the full 2 weeks were over. Still, Walden said the service benefits both employers and workers, noting that daily pay is free to companies. They're getting you in to where the companies get things for free. They benefit by giving you something, and then you go out and you spend your money, and you're now obligated to go in the next day because you don't have any money saved up. You're spending everything, and you become a slave to that employer. And for the employees, they finally have a transparent way to see how much they're making. And so they can manage their finances better. That is untrue. I want you to know that is untrue. There is a downside to using the apps. Employees, now the companies get the use free. Employees are charged $2.99 to access their wages. On the same day they receive them. Daily pay charges $1.99 if a user wants to transfer wages a day after the money is earned, while branch charges up to $4.99 depending on how much money an employee transfers. They are getting you. They're milking you a couple bucks at a time. You know what? Is Mabel here? Mabel, what did your father say about pennies? Pennies make dollars. Okay? Seconds make minutes. I'm working all day. I get up at 3:30 and I start work right away, and I work until 6 o'clock at night. People want to do something. They want to call me and talk on the phone. I'm thinking seconds make minutes because I only have so many hours in the day to honor the Lord. And if it's, you know, productive time and I'm helping somebody through a Bible question, that's one thing. But if they just want to talk about the color of the sun, they can go outside and look at it. Okay? Seconds make minutes. Okay? Pennies make dollars. You start taking out $2.99 every time you do this. You're giving them by the end of the week $20 or $30 that you can't afford. Okay, let's go on. Those fees, while not onerous, yes they are, could become a problem over time, according to a consumer advocacy group. The fees seem low, but they add up, as most workers pay extra for instant access and get into a cycle of reborrowing every pay period to fill the hole in the paycheck caused by the previous advance. When I was in the military, and somebody else that's not here now but is in the church regularly was in the military, we knew people that would lend money to people that spent all of their money. And they'd say, I'll lend you this $20, but you owe me $25 at the end of the month. And they do this with 20 people. And they were getting rich, and these people never, never got out of debt. The next day after payday, they no longer had any money at all because they had borrowed in advance, just like these people. You will never get out of this cycle as long as you live if you do this. Okay? Branch and daily pay are like a version of a payday loan or an advanced repaid on payday. Some employers offer early pay for free to employees, which Saunders said is a better model than pushing the costs onto low-wage workers who just end up paying to be paid. There you go. Don't get into that. That is my recommendation from the Epic Times. New Mazda cars will stop if driver suffers health problems. Cars already know how to park themselves, warn drowsy drivers, steer back into the right lanes, and proposed map routes to destinations. The cars Mazda has in the works for the next year in Japan know when drivers have a stroke or heart attack. You have a stroke or a heart attack, it will now stop the car, and hopefully not in the middle of traffic, and then it'll, I guess, call somebody. It doesn't really explain what happens after that, but yet, or maybe the car just knows he had a heart attack and it feels good that you're dead. I don't know what. But we'll find out in 2022. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's going. From the AP, scientists are mystified, wary, as Africa avoids COVID disaster. 6% of Africa is vaccinated, only 6%, and they have had no COVID problem in Africa. You don't hear about this because nobody wants to talk about it. They have no COVID breakouts in Africa at all. But all of a sudden, where does the recent strain come from?
Africa.
Africa. Okay? I got an article, maybe I'll read it to you on Wednesday, on the Wednesday report, about exactly that. I have to tell you that people that believe what's going on is going on are being misdirected, okay? Misdirected. From the Epic Times, South Korea sees surging COVID-19 cases despite nearly 90% vaccination rate. This is all over the world. The more vaccinations, the more the cases go up. It's happened. The UK, fortunately, publishes their statistics right online. You can go read them right online. So you know the UK is telling you what's going on. We've gone through that week after week. I reported every Wednesday on the vaccinations, the number of people that get COVID, how many are vaccinated, how many are unvaccinated, etc. It is always in favor of the vaccinated. Always. Epic Times. Disney World hits pause button over COVID-19 vaccination policies. Notice I did not say Disneyland. I said Disney World.
Right.
Disney World is in what state?
Florida.
Yes, we have a good governor here. Yeah. Disney is pausing the enforcement of its COVID-19 vaccine mandate in Florida in response to the state's enactment of a law placing several restrictions and requirements on companies that mandate vaccines for employees. As we assess the full impact of this new legislation, we are immediately pausing the enforcement of our mandatory vaccination policy for Florida-based cast members and employees until further notice. Disney Resort employee Stephen Cribb said she thinks the company is using the pause to regroup and see what their recourse is. This has thrown them off a bit once they figure things out legally to see how they can get around the law. The Epic Times reached out to the media relations department at Disney World, but they would not comment on the memo or if they plan to rehire hundreds of employees who lost their jobs due to the vaccine mandate. You know how I feel about Disney anyway because of what they've been doing to our society, but I am so glad that they are getting jabbed in their skinny little ribs right now. I love it. I love what our governor is doing. I was talking to John and Ellen this morning and their children. They came in early and we talked for a while. And I was talking to them about what I've said to you all several times, is that there might be six people in the United States of America that has saved this country from being totally overthrown at this point, our six Republican governors. Because if they weren't in charge right now, these conservative Republican governors, we would be exactly like all of the rest of the country. We would have been overthrown by what they're doing in Washington. They despise these people, and they're going to do, it's going to be a bloodbath during the elections. The lies that are slung out and the things that come against people like Ron DeSantis and Abbott, they're going to do everything they can to destroy this nation as quickly as they can. They're already doing it, but they're getting resistance by governors that understand something called the U.S. Constitution. That's right. And they're using it effectively, but if we lose these governors, I don't know what's going to happen, folks. From CNN, in case you missed the midweek report, Florida is set to become the first state to fine businesses over vaccine mandates in defiance of Biden administration. Thank goodness for Ron DeSantis. Mail Online, new Botswana variant. Okay, it's now called the, anybody? Omicron, thank you. The new Botswana variant with 32 horrific mutations. Oh, it's terrible. It's the most evolved COVID strain ever and could be worse than Delta. I just read an article out of South Africa just a little while ago that said this isn't bad at all. It's not bad at all. But they're pushing this so that people are scared all over the world right now, especially the lefties that have already gotten jabbed 57 times. And these people are going to continue to be scared. Now, listen, about 8 months ago or 6 months ago, maybe even less, somewhere around there, I mentioned Gym Guy. I call him Gym Guy because he looks like he's been to the gym. But if you type this into YouTube, Tank Top Bro predicts COVID cycle. Just type those words into YouTube. It's a 2-minute video. Go refresh yourself on what that guy said. He was in Canada at the beginning of what was going on last year. And everything this guy, he's just a guy coming out of the gym. He's just walking down the road and they were asking people his opinion. And he went through every single thing that he said was going to happen. And it has happened step by step. This guy logically thought through what was happening. He said they're going to have lockdowns, and then they're going to ask you to get vaccinated. Then the vaccines aren't going to work, and they're going to say you need to be re-vaccinated. And then they're going to introduce a new strain, and then they're going to have a lull, and then they're going to tell you, oh, the lull is over, and we got a lockdown. He went through everything. Go type that in. Tank Top Bro predicts COVID cycle. 2 minutes and 58 seconds long, and you'll see somebody that knew what was coming, And he said, you're not thinking. Nobody's thinking. We need to think. Okay, the state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Okay, I've got a friend in British Columbia, Canada. And he said that I could tell you this because he wants people to be aware of what's going on. My friend in British Columbia, Canada has a child that decided that he wants to be a she. Okay? He and his wife are divorced. The wife is all for it. And this guy has had his rights completely robbed from him. Completely robbed from him. He has no say in this at all. He made the appeal, which they asked him to present. He made his presentation, and then he said they completely lied. They completely lied that he did not defend this supposed transition of his son into a girl. He has no rights. They won't accept what he said, even though he made his presentation, and this is happening to somebody that attends this church from Canada. So he wants you to be aware of this. Be aware of it, because this is happening all over the world right now. People's rights are being stripped from them, parental rights, because of the agenda that's going on in this world. Okay, Mail Online. Manhattan Junior High School will racially separate students in grades 7 and 8 while discussing identity and social justice topics. And they call this legal. Fox News. Vermont, first state to require access to condoms in all secondary schools. That's 7 to 12. Mandatory that you have them. Breitbart. Connecticut parents report kindergartners taught gender ideology without an opt-out. They have no choice. They are going to teach these to their children in Connecticut, and they cannot opt out. Washington Examiner, nearly a third of millennials identify as LGBT, study finds. That number was like 0.2 or something 10 years ago. This is an agenda which is being pushed on people, and once it becomes fashionable, everybody wants to join in. I want to be like my friends that have changed their gender. We're ruining the next generation, one kid at a time, one lefty decision at a time. Okay, from GB News, British awards to scrap male and female categories in favor of gender-neutral awards for the 2022 ceremony. No more girls and guys over there. Prizes will be handed out to the Artist of the Year and the International Artist of the Year, replacing Best Male and Female Solo Artist and Best International Male and Female Solo Artist. CBS Local. State board drops sex offender term, calling it a negative label. This is Colorado. Can't call anybody a sex offender anymore. The way sex offenders are labeled is changing in Colorado. The board that sets state standards voted to change the term sex offenders to reflect so-called person-first language. The Sex Offender Management Board, which is made up of everyone from public defenders to prosecutors, sets standards and guidelines for treatment providers, so the new terminology will only be used in that context. Derek Logue said he shouldn't have to carry the label for life. This is a guy that was a sex offender. I shouldn't have to carry the label for life. Referring to me by a label for something I did half my life ago is inappropriate and downright offensive. Well, it's okay to be offensive, isn't it? Yeah, what about the person he offended? Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. It's a lot better than Prophecy Updates, I'll tell you that right now. From MSN. Man, oh man, we're right on the edge over there. Chinese military at or near ability to invade Taiwan, U.S. agency concludes. The PLA, China's name for its military, is capable of landing at least 25,000 troops on the island nation to establish an initial beachhead. According to the newly released annual report from the U.S., China Economic and Security Review Commission, a congressionally appointed agency designed to provide specific and nonpartisan national security and economic advice to Congress and the President. They are giving all the signs this is an option they're considering to be viable, further complicating existing U.S. efforts to deter China from seizing control of Taiwan by force are new tactics the PLA has employed that offset some of the U.S. military's potency in the region. The report documents that the Chinese military has trained with barges, ferries, and other civilian vessels to transport military troops across the Taiwan Straits or elsewhere. In addition to more conventional military transports, given these deployments, it has become less certain that U.S. conventional military forces alone will continue to deter China's leaders from initiating an attack on Taiwan. The new assessment comes at an especially fraught time for Taiwan, a democracy formally recognized only by a shrinking number of minor nations. China, which has used economic and diplomatic pressure to isolate Taipei internationally, considers its government illegitimate and the island nothing more than a rogue territory of the mainland. Concerns about military action have spiked in recent months following U.S. and Taiwanese assessments that a Chinese bid to retake control of the island by force could take place within years. China has also expressed outrage at growing U.S. willingness to acknowledge the presence of American military trainers in Taiwan. Though the current U.S. admin policies focus on overtures to Beijing, Biden-fueled Chinese paranoia of U.S. support for former Taiwanese independence during remarks he made during a high-profile video summit with President Xi Jinping, Biden later clarified, "We're not encouraging independence in keeping with decades-old U.S.-China policy, but not before Chinese state media blasted the original comments as a dangerous sign." Indeed, Xi himself warned Biden about Taiwan during their summit. "Any intention of using Taiwan to contain China is just like playing with fire," Xi said, one of the CCP's most sensitive issues. He added, "Whoever plays with fire will get burnt." Having worked with Chinese military for many years, it's not a high priority for the Chinese military to engage in de-escalation measures. Roy Komphausen with the National Bureau of Asian Research and another member of the commission also told reporters when asked about the two countries' ability to show an accidental march to war, they regard that as a political set of activities, and the military avoids those actions unless they are within very tightly bounded parameters. In the event of miscalculation, he adds, there's much less autonomy at the tactical level for the Chinese military leaders to respond in de-escalatory ways. Yet, despite recent bellicose rhetoric toward Taiwan, China's commitment to a forceful reunification of the island seems unclear. Its political leadership ultimately would make a decision to invade, not its military, and it faces substantial constraints on its ability to wield that force, the commission's report concludes. These include the inherent uncertainty of a military confrontation with the United States, the extensive damage that would likely result to the Chinese economy, and the risk that an attack on Taiwan could promote the formation of a coalition of countries determined to constrain any further growth in China's power and influence. So they're taking everything into effect right now. They're thinking about it, but they are practicing to take over Taiwan with these boats and these military maneuvers. Okay, we've got Biden, who is completely sold out to the Chinese. Completely. He and his sons are completely sold out to them. The only reason why they would not want Taiwan overtaken, I'm talking about the guy in the White House, is because right now Taiwan controls 99.999% of what?
Chips.
It's all about chips. If Taiwan didn't have the chips, they would let them be taken over tomorrow. I guarantee it. So, as long as we can control the chips, and if they can get Taiwan to, hey, we'll build them over here for cheaper, or you can have your plant over in Texas or something, Taiwan is gone. Okay, so we need to pray for the people over there. This is a very serious situation which is going on in the world, and it's all about chips at this moment. From the Hill, Taiwan deploys advanced fighter jets amid tensions with China. From NTD, Japan tells China peace, stability in Taiwan Strait are important. Reuters, Philippines tells China to back off after South China Sea standoff. There's all kinds of problems going on over there right now. Zero Hedge, this is kind of a comedy. If you know what's been going on for the past couple of weeks and months, or actually, especially in the past couple of weeks, but it's been going on for months. Zero Hedge, Soros stooge Chesa Boudin suddenly outraged as wave of shoplifting gangs sweeps Bay Area, and now they're sweeping every other Democrat-controlled area in the nation. There's nothing like a smarmy, smug leftist who's realized he's cooked his own goose. Which brings us to the case of Chesa Boudin, the district attorney of San Francisco who's effectively legalized shoplifting in the name of criminal justice reform. He's promoted massive store closures with ugly videos of broad daylight robberies on large and small stores. Bodine's refusal to prosecute has turned San Francisco into another socialist crime pit, Caracas. And now, like his mentor Hugo Chavez, he's facing a voter recall, which seems to be concentrating his mind, given that he's suddenly changing his tune. And comically enough, fooling no one. Boudin has up until now stated that he's letting the little guys go on so that he can focus on taking down the big guys, the organized crime rings. Kind of the same way Joe Biden says his ICE will take down only organized human smuggling rings and ignore individual illegals. How's that going? Seems the organized rings have grown more bold and powerful based on this policy. Very comparable to the leftists who refuse to recognize the wisdom of the broken window policy, which brooks no small crimes because doing so fosters big ones. Rudy Giuliani, who cleaned up New York in the 1990s, proved that flawlessly. And here the lefties are doing the same thing again and again. They keep passing these dumb laws. They keep getting themselves into trouble. And then they back off and say, it's somebody else's fault, and I'm going to correct it now. Breitbart. Build back better? UK inflation hits 10-year high as food and fuel costs soar. Mail online. Listen, this is a hint for all of you. If you go to a hotel, listen to this and then think what not to do when you go to the hotel. Wait until after you leave the hotel, okay? All right. Mail online. Grandmother, 63, and granddaughter, 6, are kicked out of Georgia Hotel in the middle of the night by police after she gave it a 3 out of 5-star review on Hotels.com. Yes. She's sitting there and she got bad service, so she's saying it on Hotels.com, and they called the police, and the police kicked them out of the hotel. Wait till after you leave the hotel, okay? You're in Georgia right now, okay? Don't make a bad report on a hotel you're staying in. Yes?
I'm staying with a friend, not in a hotel.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, don't say anything about your friend until after you leave the South, okay? There you go. Okay, from CNS. Beef prices, which I love beef, unfortunately rise 20.1% due to increased consumer demand and labor shortage. I would say that neither of those is exactly the whole of the story. Okay, I got a Lesserick here for you. There's a spy that was hired by Gantz, who presumably sought second chance. Yet in spite of behest, he's now under arrest. Seems Shimbetz made a mess of the manse. Okay. Who said it? I don't think anybody will get this, but you might. Who said it? Those who are easily shocked should be shocked more often.
Freud.
No? Mae West. Yes. Those who are easily shocked should be shocked more often. Okay, I got an irony here for you. This is very ironic. It's incredibly ironic. I can't believe the world in which we're living in. From Republic World, Germany. Now imagine this. Imagine the brain pan of these people. Germany. Euthanasia Association to only help vaccinated among rising number of COVID cases. Yes. If you're not vaccinated, the euthanasia people are not going to help you. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.